This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Had a lot of fun predicting the Atlanta Falcons season 10-7. Is that enough for you? You win the wild card round, you move to the divisional series. For some people, me, maybe not. I expect a little bit more. I want this team to win an NFC South title in 2025. Beat the Bucks finally. Come on, man. I got to pull up on Twitter. It'll be up there in about 30 seconds. Very excited to hear what you all think. So go check it out at GChapATL on Twitter. But in the meantime, I have somebody who I love talking to, the film guy, Brooks Austin. He joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Brooks, you've been a busy man, dude. You have been going all over checking out high school football teams. What's stood out to you and what possessed you to drive that many miles?
Yeah, so this is the fourth year I've done this. Pardon the wind. You caught me on an off day. I'm enjoying an off day today, playing a little bit of golf.
Heck yeah.
But anyways, I started this about 4 years ago. Covering the University of Georgia like I do. They're going to be in the mix for every great football player that is available, particularly in the state. They're going to scout them. They're going to evaluate them. So I feel like as a person who covers the University of Georgia, it would be a smart idea to do the same thing myself. About 4 years ago, started going to see as many high schools as I humanly possibly could during the month of April and May. This year, saw 35 rosters. And you learn a lot just about the game of football in general. But also players themselves. I find that when I get to watch you practice, I find out who you really are or who you're going to be on every given day leading up to a Saturday, which I find in college is one of the more determining factors in terms of whether or not you're going to be great.
Well, Brooks, just at a high school level, I mean, some players who you think who've stood out to you just in particular, maybe some teams who've stood out to you in particular.
Yeah, 2027 wide receiver out of Lee County, Jaden Upshaw. I think he's going to be a pro. Obviously, the world knows about Tyler Atkinson, the 2026 linebacker out of Grayson High School. I think he's going to be a pro. The kid that I was blown away by is an offensive tackle out of Hayville Charter, Atlanta, the guy by the name of Chris Booker. He's committed to Alabama right now. A lot of colleges went through that I speak to, went through that area this year or this spring, and were just phenomenal. I just blown away by not only the level of athlete and the caliber of athlete that Chris Booker is, but just the professionalism that he carries himself with at the age of 17. Another Alabama commit, man, Jordan Edmonds out of Sprayberry High School, a 6 foot 395-pound corner that moves uncommonly for someone who is that long and rangy at the corner position. So, a lot sticks out every year when I go out, but those four names are on my board right now to pay attention to over the next several years. And I do mean literally. I've written them in Sharpie on my big board in the studio to kind of keep tabs on over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, this is a state that's immensely talented, and the talent goes all the way down. I watched Lee County play last year against Milton in that semifinal game. And look, those are two teams that were ranked in the top 20 nationally, not just in the state of Georgia, nationally. And Milton was able to do what they did, but that's not the point. The point is there is an incredible amount of talent in the state, and it goes from Gwinnett County all the way up to Dade and everything else, all the way down to Bullock and everything else down in between. So very talented state, and as soon as I saw you were going all over it, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. But one guy in particular who's caught my eye in this 2026 class, pretty easy to catch your eye because he's one of the top players in America, Xavier Griffin. He just decommitted from USC. Mm-hmm. The Carrollton product. What are you hearing about him, and what could be coming next for him? Is Georgia potentially in his sights?
It was so funny. I was up there at practice last Thursday at 6:30 in the morning. They started 6:30 in the morning, and it looked like a coach's clinic, man. There were about 75 college football coaches that were there, and at the time, he was still committed to USC. And when you speak to him at that time, you speak to any committed kid nowadays, and they'll talk the talk. You know, I'm locked in, USC Trojans all the way. And you look around, and it was like sharks in the water, dude. I mean, every Power 5 football coach that you can think of was there. If they weren't, they were there the day before, right? I'm talking Florida State, LSU, Miami, Georgia was there the day before, Alabama was there the day before, Texas was in the mix this week and seeing him practice. So it's going to be a who's who in terms of who lands him, but I've heard most connected to him right now are Texas and Alabama. For obvious reasons, he is an elite prospect.
No, absolutely. I mean, the last time I was out there at Carrollton, that was the first time I met Lincoln Riley. You know, I mean, like this is a power study, a powerhouse program. And I mean, like they've got an unbelievable level of talent, but the infrastructure that exists in that program is just unbelievable. There's a reason they played in a state championship game last year and sent their quarterback out to go play for Deion Sanders, you know, and they produced a lot of talent, a lot of blue chippers, but one other blue chipper who caught a lot of eyes with some of his comparisons specifically, Jared Curtis. He reaffirms his commitment to Georgia last week. What are the Dogs getting in this guy, and what is the future of this quarterback room with him now in the mix?
Yeah, so I haven't seen him personally, but obviously you watch the tape and you see what everybody else sees. I mean, he is very, very well-deserving of the five-star moniker and the number one overall ranking that he's received on some boards. I know he's fluttering in between QB1 and QB3, wherever ranking service you prefer. It doesn't really matter. He's immensely talented is the word that I've used. I've heard him compared to Matthew Stafford. I check that off. I'm fine with that. 6'4", 225 pounds, great athlete. I would say great, serviceable athlete. He's not going to be out here moving around with his legs in college. He'll extend with his legs. I'm not designing running or quarterback runs for this guy. I want him extending with his legs and using that dynamic arm. It is a one-of-one arm, dude. This is the highest-rated quarterback that Georgia has evaluated in 3 years since Arch Manning.
That's nuts. So is this a guy who you could see potentially taking off and being the guy as soon as his freshman year, or do you still see some development that needs to take place?
So it's tough to – I don't like to project that too much because no matter how talented he is, this is a kid that played single-A private school football in Tennessee. And you know the state of Georgia, single-A private school football is pretty decent here. It is not pretty decent everywhere else you go. Everywhere else you go, there's going to be a tremendous level of transition from what you were playing to what we're going to ask you to play in college. So there's a level of transition there. But when it comes to nowadays in the world of college football, look at how the kids' pay structure is going to be set up. It sounds like most of the money that they have promised him in the first 2 years is going to come in that second year. So that would mean they have some type of expectations for him in year two.
Yeah, and that actually has a lot to do with Ryan Puglisi, a guy who's on the roster right now. Gunnar Stockton, a guy who still has eligibility after the season. I mean, like, look, what does that quarterback room specifically look like? Is Puglisi a guy who could potentially be on the outs, or is that even a guy who could potentially play his way into a starting role as soon as this season?
So we're talking about a guy in Curtis that's 6'4", 225, immensely talented, like we said, great thrower of the football, has a level of transition from high school to college that he's going to have to make. I just described Ryan Puglisi as well. So, I mean, I don't like to do the, is he out? Does this mean Puglisi's going to leave? I'll tell you this about Ryan Puglisi. That dude stares competition in the face. He did it during his recruitment process with them flirting around and loving on Dylan Raiola, even to the point of committing him and having him in the class all the way up until December. There was no blinking. I'm coming to Georgia. I don't care when I get there. I got to compete anyways. type of attitude. I don't think some five-star signing at the University of Georgia is going to automatically mean that Ryan Puglisi is out. That being said, if there is ever a day where Jared Curtis beats him out for the starting job and holds the starting job at hostage, then yeah, I mean, it's modern-day college football. You have to seek employment elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's really the situation. Brooks Austin joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. He is the film guy on YouTube. You got to go check him out there. He's got a great podcast. Regular season, off season, doesn't matter. You got to go check it out. He's always got some great nuggets. Plus, he went all over the state to check out what this state produces talent wise. One guy who's drawn some potential criticism, and it's to some level, I would say, unfair. I don't think it's necessarily fair to criticize a guy for taking the money necessarily, but Jackson Cantwell, he says that he is committing to go play for down there in Miami. And he says it's because of the development. And he said that was the reason and not necessarily the $5 million that he could have reportedly been making down there at Miami. What do you make of this whole situation?
I spoke to somebody at Georgia the other day about this. So here's the deal. Georgia offered him about half as much as Miami did from everything that I have heard. And I don't care who you are. If you're listening to this right now and I told you I'm going to ask you to take 100% pay cut to go play or go take a job somewhere else, you're going to look at me like I'm out of my mind. So I think that was the real situation of it. Georgia offered him about, you know, $1.2 million annually. Miami offered him about 2.5 and guaranteed it annually. By the way, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus did not get to be Drew Rosenhaus by taking pay cuts. Y'all are out of your mind.
No, and absolutely not. And look, I'm never going to stand up behind this microphone and criticize somebody for making a decision to make sure that they get themselves paid. That I will never criticize somebody for doing that. It's more just the thought that he says that went down there for development. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, even if you're Drew Rosenhaus, you can't tell your client, hey, just go out there and boldface those guys and tell them, hey, I'm taking the money because I'm taking the money. You can't tell a 17-year-old kid to do that. So I think it was more of, hey, go out there, use the talking points, tell them you love Mirabal, who, by the way, Mirabal is a great offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Cristobal, really, really good at identifying offensive line talent. But other than that, I mean, the rest of it was the reality. They took a bunch of money. Yeah. See, y'all got me leaving clubs on holes behind me because you want to do a radio interview on a Saturday afternoon.
That's it, man. But hey, football never sleeps, dude. Football never sleeps. One other thing. So here, and we're just finishing up here on the WadeFord.com hotline here with Brooks Austin. Josh Pate, our buddy up there in Nashville, he has the Dogs ranked at number 11 and potentially on the outside looking in. ESPN, I think it was Hale who had him on sitting at like 13 or something like that, sitting on the outside looking in. What do you make of kind of the national thought process about the Dogs potentially taking a big step back this season?
So those people will not say it because – I mean, most of those people are doing things that they don't speak poorly on teams. They just give you their opinion, and their opinion speaks poorly on the team, right? Like, Josh Pate's not going to come out and tell you what I'm about to tell you I think Josh Pate did that for. Those people are telling you they don't believe in Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing. He ranked DJ Lagway ahead of Gunnar Stockton. That's what he did. And he's not allowed to come out here and say that, and he'll say, you know, no one will. But that's what they're saying. When national teams are ranking Georgia that low this preseason, it's because they do not believe in Gunnar Stockton. And they'll find out whether to be right or to be wrong pretty soon.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think it's all just a very interesting point. But it makes for a very compelling topic, you know? I mean, we're in the middle of May, so you got to find something to talk to or talk about here.
Speaking of compelling, Garrett, my 4-year-old son just saw a turtle on the fairway. So we got to go see about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you go do your thing, man. Keep hitting well, okay, Brooks? Appreciate you giving me a couple minutes, man. All right. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man, y'all be good.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure talking to Brooks Austin, the film guy. He's got some great breakdowns over there on social media. You can check it out on YouTube. Check it out on Twitter. Give him a follow as well. But look, I think ultimately he makes a good point. It's like, look, these guys have something that they need to talk about. That's just really what the situation is. And having the Dogs sitting at 13, I still think is kind of a ridiculous thought. Because if they're I mean, look, there are not 12 teams better than the Georgia Bulldogs in 2025. I don't care if Georgia takes a step back. They took a step back last year, and they won the SEC. Let's be very real for a second and have that discussion. Georgia's not taking that big of a step back. That's just not the way they're... That's just not what's going to happen. It's just the reality of the situation. 5:40, we'll get back into some Georgia football conversation plus an NBA playoff discussion. We got a lot to get into there. But when we get back, Dom Taroski, he's going to take care of me. He's going to come in here. We're going to do a little producer segment. We'll have a little bit of fun there. But you got to stick around 5 minutes to do it. We'll do it right here on Off the Bench on Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tune on the game. All right, folks, poll is up. Would you take 10-7 for the Atlanta Falcons in 2025? But you lose the division. You're number five of the NFC. You win the first round of the divisional or the wild card playoffs in the NFC. You beat the Bucs in that game, but you lose the division to them. You lose to the Eagles in the divisional round. You also get swept by the Saints. Michael Penix serves for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Drake London, he has 1,400 yards, 110 receptions, 11 touchdowns. And also Bijan Robinson rushes for has 2,000 total yards. That's what ChatGPT says is going to happen. Would you take that? I got the poll up at GChapATL on Twitter. Give me a follow there, and I'll give you a shout-out. We'll have some fun with it. But in the meantime, let's have some fun with Dom Taroski, the guy who makes things go on the other side of the glass. Dom, at Dom Your Life on Twitter, if you're also feeling generous.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. Loved it. Always loved the opportunity to work with you, Garrett.
Man, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. We have a good time. We enjoy
Absolutely.
Ourselves.
We have a good time. All right. So I've got a few topics here that I want to talk about. Something that we actually just talked on with Brooks Austin in the last segment was about the Jackson Cantwell lost recruitment for UGA. Mainly right here, the simple question is, if Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs want to win another national title, are they going to have to maybe change their stance on, I don't want freshmen making more than seniors, and we're not paying guys that much?
No.
You don't think they have to?
No. Why do you?
Because I feel like if we're playing a board game and everyone else is cheating and you're not, you're never going to win.
Not necessarily. I see what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But no, not necessarily. I think the Georgia has a tried and true method. I think it's never going to work in the way that it did before name, image, and likeness has taken over. Like, you're not going to be able to go too deep on a defensive line of guys you're going to send to the NFL at any given time. You know, it's just, it's not going to work that way anymore because you have guys who are going to go off and they're going to go make their money. But ultimately, I think culture does matter a lot in college football. I think culture matters everywhere. It matters in high school. It matters in college. It matters in the pros. It matters in a workplace. It matters here at the station. Culture is everything. A culture is what defines your organization. And I think where the Georgia Bulldogs stand right now is a strong culture. And that comes from Kirby Smart. It's the same thing you see at Clemson. It's the same thing that Nick Saban did. It's the same thing that Steve Sarkisian's doing at Texas. I mean, it's consistent across the best programs in college football. And what I think happens when you open the door to that, of having just paying the freshmen that much money, it opens the door to problems that don't need to be there, if that makes sense.
Like what we're seeing with Tennessee and Nico leaving and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I understand it to some level, right? Theoretically. But it's, if I'm just paying a guy to pay a guy, like they say money is the root of all evil. And look, again, I said this to Brooks Austin, and Brooks pushed back on me a little bit, and rightfully so, because I think the way that I phrased the question, it kind of made it sound like I was criticizing him for taking the money. I'm not criticizing anybody for taking money. I will never criticize anybody for taking money and doing what's best for their family, period, full stop. That's where it ends. If money is what you need and money is what you want, then go get your money. That's fine. But I think also Georgia has a track record of winning at a high level and producing NFL talent across the board. And if you want to go and you want to prepare yourself, that's the recruiting trip, the pitch. It's not the money. Texas can do this, can say they're going to pay you. Alabama is the same kind of way as Georgia, but it's like Ohio State throws out a lot of money, but they also develop people and put them in the NFL. That's kind of a perfect situation for them. But Georgia's situation of having consistently the most players drafted on any given season, like they have a down year and they have the most players drafted, among the most players drafted.
Yeah.
That is the pedigree. That is the recruiting pitch. That's it. You know, and it's like, if you want the money now or the money later, whatever, if you're really good and you're really good at Georgia, it means you're going to go be really good in the NFL and you'll get paid there too.
Absolutely.
So if you want to change that culture, I think that's a little crazy. And I think if Kirby Smart doesn't want to do that, then fine. I'm all for it. Plus, you're going to have these salary caps and everything else that's coming. I don't think it's going to be as Wild West for much longer. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a recruit. Something to figure this out. Something is coming down the pipe.
They got to put guardrails on it because it has absolutely gotten out of hand.
Yeah, because it's just pay for play.
Yeah, at this point.
And that was the thing that they wanted to avoid in the first place. And name, image, and likeness has taken on a life of its own that it's not in a place that it should be, period. The whole point of name, image, and likeness is that if I have a jersey that's being sold and I wear number 3 and somebody... It says 92.9 The Game host number 3 Garrett Chapman. Okay, well, where's my piece? That's me. That's me. You're right. Wearing my jersey.
Yep.
And you don't pay me a dime of that. That's wrong. That's completely wrong. If I want to go sign autographs at a car dealership, that's fine. If I want to associate my name with a company in Athens, Georgia, or here in Atlanta, with IBM or whatever, I should be able to get paid for that.
That was the
That's fine.
I remember watching the Fab Five documentary, and that was the thing that Chris Webber literally said, like, that made him leave. He was like, he was walking down the street and he saw there was a jersey like hanging up in some store, like a coffee shop that was for sale. And he literally was walking with his agent and he turned and he looked and not his agent at the time, obviously, but like he was talking to one of his friends and was like, am I getting paid for that? And they were like, no. And he was like, decided he was declaring for the NBA next.
Yep. And that's just, and that's fine. And look, again, I will never fault a kid or anybody for taking money. Do what's best for your family. Get yourself paid. But, and my whole thing with Cantwell, and look, I think it got a little overstated or got a little lost in there, but I think ultimately, if you want to get developed, if you want to go play in the NFL, if you want to put yourself into the best position to be an NFL talent, and to push yourself to be the best version of yourself, you go to the best programs where they have a history of doing it. And I think that's just all there is to it. And if it means, like, $1 million is generational wealth to some extent. Not generational, but it changes your life.
It's enough to live a lifetime. Yes.
It changes your life. Let's put it that way. And making another $2 million or $1 million right there, again, I'm not going to criticize anybody for it, but there's an argument to be made both ways. But Kirby, if Kirby says he wants to do it one way, who am I to criticize him?
Absolutely. All right, next up here, we talked a little bit about the NFC West because the Falcons will be taking them on and going out there and spending a lot of time on the West Coast. My question to you, though, which NFC West team is more likely to have buyer's remorse? The 49ers for the contract they gave Brock Purdy, or the Seattle Seahawks for the contract they gave Sam Darnold?
Oh, Brock Purdy. Full stop. Sam Darnold is less than what they were going to pay for Geno Smith. Like, Geno Smith, I think he was going to make somewhere in the range of like $36 million and or something. I don't know what the exact numbers are. I don't know why I'm throwing those numbers out there. But as far as guarantees go, Sam Darnold is making significantly less in guaranteed money than Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's also not as good a quarterback, but that's neither here nor there. I think they can get out of a contract like that a lot easier than what Brock Purdy is going to have in San Francisco. And look, it may end up that neither of them have buyer's remorse. I think that San Francisco is a sum of its parts type of team where they have a lot of talent all over the field, or at least they did for a very long time. And you're relying on a team that just sent off its unbelievable dynamic weapon to go play in Washington. You have Christian McCaffrey, who I think is well past his prime. He's not even locked to play any more than 10 games next year. I think banking on him playing a full season is a fool's errand. Brandon Ayuk has been an expensive liability.
Coming off of an injury.
The offensive line is not getting any younger. George Kittle is a beast. So George Kittle is just George Kittle. And look, I just think that's sort of the situation you're in right now. And Kyle Shanahan is famous for being able to do a lot of things with a hodgepodge type of team. So I think really that's what it comes down to, is what can Brock Purdy do to continue to elevate a Kyle Shanahan-led squad? And ultimately, I don't think he's the factor.
I was going to say, that's the issue, though, is that I don't think he can elevate the squad. I think he does exactly what the system asked him to. I think the moment you ask him to do more, or you ask him to be special or do extra, is when everything goes kaput. And that isn't necessarily great for me if I'm a 49er fan, if I hear that we just paid him $250+ million.
Yeah, it's just a lot of money. You know, it's a lot of money. But the other side of this too is that cap hit is just getting, the cap number is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And $50 million, if you told me, I'm old enough to remember when people in this city freaked out when Matt Ryan's cap hit was $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, it was like for most of his time, it was like 22, 24. Right. And then it just, you add that cap hit and it keeps going backwards and backwards and backwards, and you backload everything as far as the cap number was concerned. And eventually you had to pay the piper. That was just Thomas Dimitroff trying to save his job at the time. But look, $50 million is $50 million. He's not even the highest paid quarterback.
Nope.
You got like seven guys who are up in the 50s now. Jalen Hurts and Dak is making 60. You got Mahomes, who just signed a billion-dollar contract, effectively. It's crazy.
If everything goes right here, we'll be paying Michael Penix $60+ million soon.
Lord hope. I hope so. The downside with that, too, you look at Michael Penix and the money he's making right now, too. I listen to a lot of national podcasts, of course. The Athletic Football Show, it's a great one. I'd suggest it to anybody who's looking for NFL content. It's a national podcast, but they talked about the Atlanta Falcons, and specifically, they brought up a good point, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while now. There's a window of when you are on a rookie quarterback contract number, especially in this day and age, after the collective bargaining agreement from like 15 years ago, after the Matthew Staffords and the Sam Bradfords signed those $100+ million contracts. They are on the most affordable contract, hopefully, that they will have in their entire career, based off of where they were drafted. And like Michael Penix should be making, what, $6, $7, $8 million next year?
Mm-hmm. Super
but
cheap.
You've blown through the first 2 years, potentially, of that bargain to pay Kirk Cousins. And ultimately, that's my biggest qualm, is because this team still has holes. This Falcons team still has problems that they need to fix. And it's not the fact that Kirk Cousins is here. Chris Thomas has talked a lot about how he thinks it's a locker room thing. I don't think it's a locker room thing. Kirk Cousins, I think, is going to come in and do his job. He's a pro. At the end of the day, he's going to come in, he's going to compete for the starting job. He's not going to win it because Michael Penix, it's his job, but he's going to come in and do his job. The problem is you're paying him a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I could use that money to go get any number of free agency wide receivers. A position that I think is still a pretty big need here in Atlanta. There's still a lot to be said about that wide receiver room at Flowery Branch. I don't think it's good enough. I think Drake London's really good. I think Darnell Mooney is really good. Hell, I just talked about how ChatGPT had Drake London going for 1,400 yards next year. He's really stinking good. It's just so thin. And God forbid Darnell Mooney or Drake London go down, because then you're leaning on, what, Kyle Pitts? You're leaning on Ray-Ray McCloud? Casey Washington? All due respect to those guys, but this is a team who's trying to win the NFC South. You got holes. And the thing is, do you know what would help? Having $30 million to spend on a free agency wide receiver, or maybe to beef up a defensive line that desperately needs it and not just the spare parts. You know, I mean, that's really the situation that we're in. So that's why you don't spend $30 million on a backup quarterback. But again, a moot point. I have no control over any of that, but I can just yell into a microphone.
As they have told us before, we budgeted for Kirk Cousins.
True.
Last one here before we get out. And this is something that I have really been kind of mulling over in my head the last few days. Before, I was kind of like not super in on the whole like Hawks need to go after Giannis or KD or make a huge move for a superstar or something like that. However, I take a look around the East, and next year, the East is so wide open. The Celtics will not be a factor. The 76ers completely crumbled.
Celtics aren't going to be a factor, you say?
No, Jason Tatum isn't going to be there next year.
They'll still be a factor.
They're not going to be.
They have decisions they have to make.
And they're also.
And they're about to be sold, too.
I would say that's the thing, too. And that new management, they're probably going to be kicking. Like, I don't think maybe you can hold on to Derek White.
Gone. A lot of
Porzingis is probably gone. Drew Holiday maybe ends up going. Like, I think the Celtics are going to be selling. And I think, in all honesty, they just may be like, hey, Jaylen Brown, how cool are you with the tank? In all honesty.
You thinking like it could be that Steph Curry year where he
where it's like,
and they go get James Wiseman
exactly,
and reset.
Exactly, something like that.
And
like,
they
want
a
hey,
title
dude.
After that.
Exactly.
Crazy.
So if you're the Celtics, hey Jaylen, how cool are you with the tank for 1 year?
Sure.
That's how I'm feeling. Celtics are out. 76ers are out.
Terrible.
I mean, you look around, the powerhouses in the East aren't really going to be there next year. Like, who's
powerhouses are going to be there. It's just they're going to have
it's gonna
different
names. It's going to be the Knicks and the Pacers?
Yeah, they're just going to be different names. The Magic are back. The Heat are
still extremely young.
The Heat are just a good organization. They're going to be around. I mean, why not the Hawks?
Exactly.
You know, and
so why not? What Hawks should be all in on Giannis.
I talked about this. Was this last week that I talked about that? 2 weeks ago, I think,
something like that. But I was. But it's funny because I've changed my tone because I kind of was like, eh,
I'd buy
I don't
a
think
Giannis
you need
jersey.
To.
I'd buy a Giannis jersey the day it was announced.
Listen, man,
I would be at State Farm Arena. I don't care. I'm going to go into a store and find it.
With how
if he was announced as an Atlanta Hawk, I would be the first person buying it.
Listen,
but at the same time, I don't necessarily think it's a prudent move.
I think this is a great season more than any to go ahead and try and make that jump. If there was ever a season where you're just like, hey, screw it, we're just gonna try and buy a championship year and give up some future stuff because we have a really good chance of doing it because of how just open everything is right now. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, and look, if you look at what Toronto did a couple of years ago, where they go effectively do that same thing, where they buy they go acquire Kawhi Leonard. He plays for a season on a mercenary deal, and then he goes out to the Clippers, and you're left scrambling and trying to figure things out. I would take that in a heartbeat. You know why? Because they got a championship out of it. I'd kill for a freaking championship. A championship for the Atlanta Hawks. What would that even look like? I don't even know. I want to. You had Giannis and Trae Young. Makes me excited. I think that if you can get him for the right price, I just have a bad feeling it's going to gut your franchise in a way that you can't afford. You know, is it worth Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson?
Ask the Lakers if it was worth it to trade Kyle Kuzma and Randall and all of them for AD
assuming
and win a title.
Assuming it's enough to win a title. If it guarantees me a title,
yeah.
I'll do it in a heartbeat. I won't even think about it. Check. Done. And I'll remember Giannis finally will retire his number and put it up in the rafters. I don't give a damn. If he brings a title to Atlanta, I will do it. Question is, what's it cost? And will it actually bring us a title? Because I've seen a lot more examples of where it does not work than when it does. All right, when we get back, a little bit more college football discussion. We have less than 100 days to the college football regular season. Week one schedule is announced. I got some thoughts on it. Plus, the Georgia schedule, a lot of pundits are saying that they're not in good shape. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. When we get back, my name is Garrett Chapman. You're coming off the bench with me on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The East is set. The West is soon to be set. How excited are you actually for this NBA postseason? I'm kind of hit or miss. You know, I talked to Chris Thomas the other day when I was in there with his show on Wednesday. I asked him the question, was like, are you more excited about the NFL scoring release or whatever the next game is in the NBA postseason schedule? And he said, the NBA postseason, and I kind of disagreed with him. And it's nothing against the NBA. It's just I think the NFL is just a more exciting product, just in general. And even the offseason discussion about the NFL is still more exciting than the playoffs in the NBA.
All due respect.
The
NFL just does a great job of marketing and making us care about everything that they're doing.
Everything matters.
Everything matters. Everything is a spectacle. Everything is a big deal. And
but it's not over the top, too. That's where it's really nice. Like the NBA, some of the things that they do, like the draft lottery and whatever.
You mean like the play-in game?
The play-in game.
The in-season tournament is what I was talking about. Yeah.
It feels so forced. Like, let's get eyeballs. Let's do this. The NFL just moves, and people are like, what happened? Where are they going? Germany? What's in Germany?
You remember
Brazil?
You remember when
Australia? Literally.
LeBron tried to talk trash after the Christmas Day game, and then the numbers came out,
and
they saw that
the
NFL.
And told him to move along.
Cute game that you guys played.
That's so sweet. That's a cute little round ball game that you guys play. No, that's just sort of the situation. I mean, look, I love the NBA playoffs, but I'm also a sports fanatic. I'm somebody who I love a lot of things, you know. I think the NBA playoffs are fine, but the NFL just does it better. But still, one thing that the NFL will never have is a Game 7. And that's something that we will have on Sunday. And that's something that I'm extremely excited about. You know, the Nuggets, they get a win 119-107 over the Thunder. That's been the best series of any series in this postseason so far.
Yeah.
Because those are – it's not just two teams who are pretty good and, like, they're just good basketball, but it's great basketball between two really good teams who could absolutely win an NBA title. It feels like two heavyweight fighters are just going blow for blow in the NBA's best division, the best conference, or the Western Conference, obviously, is the better of the two right now, obviously. But both of those teams are incredible. You have the best player in the world in Joker. You've got the potential MVP, not potential, he's the NBA MVP this year in SGA. And it's just been fantastic. And every single one of those games, it feels like it's come down to the wire, except for really one,
yeah,
which was a big blowout. But that it's the series that deserved to go seven. Because assuming that the Celtics beat the Knicks in that game seven, I think the spectacle would more be just the Knicks choking.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't the same.
Yeah, we would have more fun just laughing at
the Knicks.
Yeah, than really because appreciating the comeback in the series.
Exactly, because you're going back to Boston and you have the choking moniker and how you blew it in New York, but obviously they avoid all those things. But New York is just, the Knicks are just notorious for choking and just losing that opportunity. Like, one of the things that made them famous for choking is, ironically, the team that they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers. You know, Reggie Miller and company. But look, this game seven, the Thunder and the Nuggets. Do you have a lean on this? I still think the Thunder win, right? I think the Thunder are just the more well-constructed team. You're led from the top bottom. Chet Holmgren and company. I mean, look, this SGA is a beast, dude. This guy can
phenomenal.
Do it. He's just so damn good.
Phenomenal.
And he's unlocked that potential. And speaking of screwing up trades, Paul George was sent to the Clippers for this whole damn team, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah.
All those picks for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, SGA was the main piece of that puzzle.
Yeah.
Now he's winning NBA MVP. Paul George didn't do a damn thing on the Clippers, and now he's nowhere to be found. Like, there was a point this year, I didn't know where he was playing. I mean, he's playing the 76ers,
yep.
Sort of.
Yeah.
He's taking a paycheck from him. But he disappeared. SGA is now winning an NBA MVP, potentially taking his team to the Western Conference Finals. But that's where they meet somebody who I think is the most compelling person in the NBA. And that's Anthony Edwards. I am so enamored with him. It's not even the fact that he's from Atlanta. It's not about the fact that he went to Georgia. It's the fact that that guy is just pure entertainment. He hasn't gone nuclear yet either. And I think that's coming in the Western Conference Finals. If I'm going to come out here, I'm going to make a prediction. The last time I made a prediction, it came almost true. Where I said that the Atlanta Braves, by mid-May, or I said May 12th, I think was the number that I said, are going to be over 500. Took an extra week, but we're there.
We got there.
We're there. You know? So I'll take that as a three-quarters of the way win. All right. Three-quarters of the way win. This is my next take. Anthony Edwards is going to score 50 points in the Western Conference Finals in one game. I don't know which game it's going to be. I don't even know who he's going to play yet, but he's going to score 50 points in a game. Take that. Give that little Garrett Chapman mark of success. I'm excited for that one. I think the Western Conference Finals are going to be fun. The Pacers, they're just a team that's built for the playoffs. They're a team that's built for the postseason. The way that they play basketball, their half-court offense is the best in the NBA playoffs that's still remaining by a wide margin. And ultimately, when you have a guy like Tyrese Haliburton, they can just score at will. They can score and score and score. Puts a lot of pressure on your opposition to keep up. And that's why I think this Eastern Conference Finals is going to be compelling. And I'm excited for it. And I joke about them being like the NFL stepchild or whatever. It's still a pretty compelling topic. And I think that once we get into this level of the NBA postseason, it gets really compelling.
I think the thing that's most fun, especially for me, is how many of the new faces there are. Like,
yes.
Outside of Joker, we're going to see someone win a ring who hasn't before. Like, we're going to see SGA and then move forward. I'm sorry. got Anthony Edwards. You got Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. You got Tyrese Haliburton. Like, all of that stuff.
That's why I'm cheering for the Thunder a little bit, because that guarantees somebody, a team, a franchise who has potentially never won an NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
That guarantees that one team who's never done it before, or in the Knicks case, just a long time, wins the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And I think that's exciting.
Also, one of the talk about dark horse storyline that no one saw coming, how about the trade that won for both sides if the Knicks and Timberwolves end up in the finals?
Wouldn't that be a topic? That'd be fun.
Like the trade that both sides won?
I mean, hey. I love that. I think there's not – that's a non-zero chance that happens.
If back when that trade was made, I would have told you this trade is going to be the reason both of these teams end up in the finals. Who would have believed that?
No.
No one would have saw that coming.
No way. No way. No, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just the downside is no games tonight, and we got a game on Sunday, but then you got nothing until Tuesday, Wednesday. Ugh, that's the worst part about the NBA. Like, the Timberwolves haven't played in like a week. Yeah. Forever. The Pacers haven't played in a week.
That is the worst part is of the NBA is that goes on, you just get less of it because you want more and more because, like, it's like, oh, my God.
Because the games get better.
Yeah, because the games get better. The games are great. You get these series and all the anticipation. It's like, all right, we got games every day. What, game six is today? Dude. Game seven is today? Like, and then you get to the point where it's like, okay, so we're not playing basketball every day anymore?
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, okay.
It's really weird. But it's like the Hawks season ended like 2 months ago. It seems like it's like a full month ago. The Hawks haven't been playing basketball for over a month. It's crazy to think about that fact. All right, but look, something that's also coming up in a couple of months, not exactly a month. I wish it was a month, but less than 100 days. It's college football, so let's do it. Oh, it's so close. I can almost taste it. Oh, SEC Media Days. It'll be coming here to Atlanta in July. But one thing that's going to be coming a little bit after that, week zero and week one games. The slate was announced, and boy, do we have a doozy. Week zero, it's going to start out in Dublin. It's Iowa State and it's Kansas State. Man, that's going to be a fun one. And look, for anybody who is like, oh, ugh, Big 12. Okay, take a second and think about this. The most exciting race potentially in college football could be out west in the Big 12. The parity. Now, they don't have those elite teams that they have in the Big 10 or the SEC. Sure, fine. But that B level, the thing that I think the ACC needs more of, they're all basically B level teams, if not a little bit better than that. And I think these are two teams who could really be very good next year. Iowa State, we talked about that. Rocco Becton company. That could be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a great game. August 23rd at noon. Those are two contenders in the Big 12 Conference. But then we get into the Week 1 slate. And boy, oh boy, this is going to be fun. Starting on Thursday, the 28th, 9 o'clock. God, it feels late. 9 o'clock. It's going to be at Arrowhead. It's going to be Matt Rhule and the Nebraska Cornhuskers versus Cincinnati. Dylan Raiola in year two. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. What does he do? He's Patrick Mahomes light. He really wants to be Patty Mahomes, and now he's going to play an Arrowhead. So naturally, he's probably going to throw for 400 yards and three, four, five touchdowns, you know, just because he wants to be Patrick Mahomes really badly. But ultimately, this is a guy who's got a lot of expectations. He's playing for his dad's alma mater. He's somebody who wants to bring Nebraska back to the promised land. Big Red, a team that has not been what it's expected to be for my whole lifetime, it seems like. You know, going back to, I'm a kid of the 90s, so I was born in the 90s, really a child of the 2000s. The Cornhuskers have just been a gigantic Big Red disappointment over my lifetime.
In that Fricky's team.
It's Fricky's team. Yeah, the fighting John Fricky's.
Yeah, the fighting John Fricky's.
So you got the fighting Dave Archers in the first one, and then the fighting John Fricky's in the second one. But that's the Thursday game. I just think it's going to be interesting. You know, and Cincinnati, of course, is the giant killer, but they're out there making noise over there in the Big 12. All right, so in Friday, got our Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. They're heading out west to play Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. I think that's just a fun game in general. I'm trying to go out to that game. Go to see a game in Colorado would be unbelievable. But Georgia Tech has expectations for the first time, well, in a long time, a very long time. I proclaim that this is a team who could compete to go play in an ACC championship game in 2025. And you're not going to do that if you don't start off on a hot streak, right? And that starts with a big win over Colorado and company. They're replacing Shedeur Sanders, replacing Travis Hunter. You replace talent like that, it's going to be a little bit of a progression. And when you face a tough, hard-nosed team like Georgia Tech, it's going to be very difficult for the Buffaloes. I'd expect Georgia Tech to get a win in that one, but that's where the season starts. It starts hard and fast. They're going to have the lights on. A lot of people watching that one. Then we move into the Saturday slate, starting at noon, Syracuse and Tennessee at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's the Aflac kickoff game here in Atlanta. The Nico Dominoes, they're going to fall at some point in 2025. They're going to fall eventually. And I think Fran Brown might get that kick started. Do not be surprised if Syracuse comes down here to Atlanta and kicks the other orange team's butt. Now, not on the scoreboard necessarily. I think that it could be a very interesting game. Talk about a compelling one. The orange teams, you know, nothing sucks like a big orange, but that's neither here nor there. Later on in the day, Alabama and Florida State, two embattled head coaches, Kalen DeBoer and, well, for different reasons. Mike Norvell is, whatever the hell that was last year, the most disappointing season potentially of all time. I have never seen a more discombobulated, disjointed disaster of a season than whatever Florida State put on film last year.
It felt like they lost week one.
It was over.
And everyone checked out.
They just quit.
Yeah, they lost week one and everyone lost faith.
Yeah. And look, Norvell, and you talk about the culture. Culture. Remember that what we talked about in that producer segment 15, 20 minutes ago? Culture over everything. Mike Norvell needs to prove that his culture still exists. He's being paid a lot of money to make sure that culture exists. You're not going to be there much longer if you have a 3-4 win season. And now you get Alabama to kick off the year. And I say he's an embattled head coach. He's just more just a really damn good coach who's replacing the greatest coach of all time. Now you're going to take on Florida State. Week one at Florida State in Tallahassee. I think you got a new quarterback under center. You got to see what you can do in year two under Kalen DeBoer. I think Alabama could be a very good team. Shocker. Oh, hot take there. Alabama's going to be pretty good. Another game that night that's going to be a lot of fun, LSU and Clemson. Death Valley versus Death Valley in Death Valley. This one just in Clemson. The orange Death Valley. Hype train is building for the Tigers. I think I saw somebody had them at the number one team. Josh Pate had them as the number one team as well. The hype around this program, Cade Klubnik, Dabo Swinney, is built back up. This is the same type of Clemson team that a lot of people talked about in 2017, 2018, 2019. Those teams were really damn good. They say that this team could be just as good. I think this game is going to tell us a lot. Garrett Nussmeier for this pressure cooker that's cooking in Baton Rouge. Brian Kelly's got it. He's on the hot seat in 2025. He's on the hot seat because you were brought in there to win championships and you have not done it.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I remember telling you not too long ago how I felt about Brian Kelly when they first signed him and everything. Yep. But my question
about
LSU,
undue hate, I will say.
He does, and I give him way more flack than he probably deserves. But I did want to ask, because I've seen some people kind of talk about Garrett Nussmeier, is there any type of way maybe he takes that Jaden Daniels type step where he came back for a year?
Or in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow type situation.
Maybe.
Do you think that he can take that and maybe put himself in that conversation to be a top one, two pick next year?
Yes. It's LSU. It's a damn good program. That's a really good place to play. And you're going to have a lot of attention. You're going to have a lot of big time games. You're going to be under the lights. A lot of people are going to be watching you. And if you perform at the highest level, you will be drafted highly. Period. That's why you go to the big time programs, because then you perform in those moments and then you create the rest of your career. And he could do that, absolutely. Other than that, it's Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday at 3 o'clock here in Atlanta. It's Lenore Sellers. Can he build on the end of just an unbelievable 2024? People talk about him being a potential top quarterback next year. I'm very excited about Lenore Sellers. On Sunday night, it's Notre Dame at Miami. It's Carson Beck and Jeremiah Love, Marcus Freeman and company potentially replicating some of that success. And then on Monday, Bill Belichick makes his debut Monday at 8. It's TCU and it's UNC. Look, I'm excited about college football. And we're going to be doing some preview series. We're going to go talk to a bunch of different people from across the SEC, across the ACC, and we'll do that all summer long. So make sure you tune in. To Off the Bench throughout the summer. We're going to talk a lot of college football. But when we get back, we're going to talk European football. Atlanta United, they got a big match tonight. Joe Patrick's going to join me on the WadeFord.com hotline to do just that. Plus, maybe talk to him a little bit about some Atlanta Falcons. We'll see. We'll feel they're frisky and fun. We'll do that when we get back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to see if Joe Patrick can join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. We'll see if he can jump in here in just a second just to chat a little bit of Atlanta United. But in the meantime, you got the Georgia Bulldogs they got a lot of people on the other side who are making some comments and making saying some things about them. And I'm a little curious about the why. Because when you look at the potential for this team, and look, Josh Pate did this, and I love Josh Pate. Josh Pate does really good work. I love what Josh Pate does. And I asked Brooks Austin about it earlier in the show, and he said specifically that this is a team that is going to be good, but you rank them at 13, 12, 11, whatever, because you don't believe in the quarterback. And that's all the reason that you would have to do that. Because I have absolutely no other reason to think that this team is going to take a step back, because I don't think that there are 12 teams better than the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't think there are 12 teams better than Georgia Bulldogs in any one thing for the most part. Because I think the running game, I mean, it's got to be better than what it was last year. The running rushing attack was putrid in 2024, I think, especially by Georgia standards. But I think they were 102nd in college football last year running the football. That was a problem. And you cannot lean on that in 2025 and expect to win a lot of football games. That's just all there is to it. I'm sorry. But I think it should take that next step. And Carson Beck's not here. I think having a guy in the backfield like Gunnar Stockton is going to help elevate that rushing attack. I think he brings back a guy who's a little bit more akin to what we saw in Stetson Bennett. He's not Stetson Bennett. I want to be careful with that, because Stetson Bennett's the best quarterback in Georgia football history. And I think that Gunnar could potentially bring that element, though. Not necessarily the swagger that Stet had, but I think he can come and be a viable upgrade at the quarterback position, and just in terms of athleticism. But you lose Carson Beck, and that's a serious loss. It's a very serious loss, because he's the reason you won a lot of the games that you won last year. I think you don't win that. You're not going to have a chance in that game against Alabama if he doesn't step up and play the way that he did. You don't have a chance to beat Texas in that game over there in Austin if he doesn't step up and play the way he does in the second half. I understand he threw some interceptions that game, too. He threw some interceptions against Alabama, too. But you have some drop passes. You have an offensive line that was a little bit leaky at times. And that's really what it gets down to with the national narrative of what the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be. It's because Georgia ultimately just looked vulnerable for the first time last year since maybe 2020. They just looked vulnerable. And I don't think people are used to seeing that. They looked invincible from 2021 up to 2023. And it really, if it wasn't for the fact that they are completely depleted in that SEC championship game against Alabama, Ladd McConkey was not good to go. Brock Bowers couldn't even walk when he finished that game. I talked to Rusty Manziel about that. The guy had to be helped off of the field into the tunnel. He couldn't walk. Had the tightrope surgery on his ankle. He just wasn't the same guy. And if you have one of those guys, if not both, you probably win that game. But Georgia was otherwise undefeated. They had won, I think at the time, like 30 games in a row, something crazy. They were fresh off of two national championships, and they were in great shape and looking like they were unbeatable. But now you got teams, you got pundits who were having them held out of the college football playoff entirely. And I think that thought process is ridiculous. Based off of what? They say they had a down year last year. What, you know what else they did last year? With everything that was befuddling them, a wide receiver room that couldn't stay on the field, that couldn't catch the football even when they were on the field, with a rushing attack that ranked 102nd in college football, you lose your starting quarterback in the SEC championship game and your defense isn't as deep as it was in years past. Do you know what they did last year? With the most difficult schedule in America, they won the SEC. So anybody who thinks that this is a team that's taking a step back in 2025 is wishful thinking, or they're fooling themselves. As if a step back is what? Not competing for a national championship? They lose to Notre Dame, and that's really the biggest thing that really messed with me a little bit, is the fact that they played the same game that Notre Dame did, and Notre Dame came in to play them in the same style and beat them in it. Now, really, it was just 90 seconds. Outside of that, it was a complete stalemate. It's just Georgia's not used to being stalemated by anybody, much less Notre Dame. But Marcus Freeman and company, it says more about them than it does the Georgia Bulldogs, and the fact that you're playing a backup quarterback in a playoff game in his first career start, that also says something else. But I digress. I think this Georgia team is going to be just fine. Anybody who's worried about it, don't. They're going to be okay. I think the influx of talent in the wide receiver room, I think Gunnar Stockton's going to help elevate that offense, and I think they're going to be more of a return to norm. Plus, that difficult schedule where you're playing all of these unbelievable opponents on the road, Yeah, they're in Athens this year. It's still the SEC, but this Georgia team's going to be just fine. All right, let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline. We got Joe Patrick here on the phone lines. Joey P, Smokey Joe, how you doing, my brother?
Garrett, I apologize for the crossing of wires. That was my fault, but good to be here.
Dude.
As Yogi Berra would say, what is the phrase? I'm glad for everyone who made this day necessary.
No, it's fantastic. Joe, anytime you can join me is a great day, man. I always appreciate your insight. Of course, he does Falcons coverage for us, but he's also a pretty knowledgeable guy when it comes to our Atlanta United, and they've got a big match coming up here tonight as they're just trying to get things back on track. The game against Austin, I feel like we saw a little bit of something, just took 92 minutes to get to that level. What did you see from them, and can they build on a road result like they had on Wednesday?
Well, I think what happened in Austin was, first of all, Atlanta United was playing an Austin team that is not very good. And so I think that's, first of all, you got to take, the road point there. It's not like you went and got a road point against the Columbus Crew. But having said that, a road point for this team is a road point. We're not going to besmirch that too much. I would say, though, that the way they got that point was to be pretty defensive. They were sitting quite deep in their own half, and let Austin control the ball for prolonged periods of time. And Austin is, again, one of the worst teams in the league so far in terms of doing exactly that. And so, but hey, like, if you're Ronnie Dyla, you got to figure out something that works. You got to figure out something that your players feel like they can believe in that is going to help them get results. And so I'm not necessarily against, going to a more kind of defensive mentality in a particular game. I just wonder how sustainable that is, especially with a roster as it's currently constructed that's really, formed around the attacking talent, and that kind of is supposed to be, what is on the menu for this Atlanta United team, and that attack has just not shown up yet this season. So while the result was solid, you'll definitely take it, there are still concerning signs that we've been seeing now for the better part of the last 2 months.
Joe, what kind of concern is there where you have this unbelievable heat wave that you have to play in on Wednesday night, and then you have the compression of the schedule where now you have to flip around and play a game at home, not even just the travel side of it, but then you travel out to Texas, and then you play in that incredible heat where you have guys who are going a full 90 like Miggy, and now they got to come back here to Atlanta. What are your thoughts on that?
It's tough, and I'm wondering what the lineup is going to look like when it's released here in about 30 or 40 minutes or so, because I would expect Ronnie Dyla to have to change some players in that starting lineup just for the point that you made, Garrett, to keep guys fresh. And I think that when you talk about these midweek games, I think it's actually this game, which is like the third game basically that you play in 10 days. Because remember, they obviously played last weekend, then midweek, and now it's this third game where I really feel like you start to feel the effects of those minutes that piled up. And you're right, the conditions for that midweek game, any midweek game makes it more difficult, but when that midweek game is played in that brutal heat wave that Texas was getting just as Atlanta United happened to be there, that's not going to help at all. And so especially for a team in Atlanta United that's kind of relying on some of its physical aspects, its speed to try to, make opportunities on the counterattack and such, it's going to be a problem for them. They're going to have to kind of, I think Ronnie Dyla is going to really have to go to the bench and get some quality minutes out of his subs tonight.
Joe, I think Ronnie Dyla mentioned this, or maybe one of the players in a media session at some point, but they said effectively that the schedule compression by many is viewed as a negative, but could also be viewed as a positive, just because when you're not getting good results, getting back out onto the pitch as much as possible to play as much as you can and change those results. Like, could we see this potentially be a good thing for Atlanta United?
Yeah, I definitely believe in that that's a real thing. That when you can get back out on the field, that helps. Just like from a mentality perspective, is kind of be able to wash away whatever bad results you had. Unfortunately, for this Atlanta United team, it's like, the results aren't really changing much. They just continue to be kind of poor result or drop points upon drop points. But I think also the benefit of being able to get out there is for Ronnie Dyla to be able to, experiment with some things, because he's clearly still trying to tinker with this lineup to try to figure out, some wrinkles that will work, whether that's Miguel Almiron playing as like a pseudo striker as he has the last few games, whether it's a tweak to the, to the back line, going to a back three instead of a back four. Ronnie Dial is starting to try some things, because ultimately that's going to be the change that kind of helps spur something that we hope can be more sustainable with this team. And so I think that just when you have those opportunities to play games, it helps. But, they've got to, I say they've got to pick up points on the road. It's kind of almost too, or I'm sorry, at home. It's almost kind of too late for that, but it's so important because you have three home games now coming up right in a row before you go on the road, like forever, basically. I think they've got like six straight road games or something. So it's really important for this team these next three games to get some points.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take advantage of the opportunities when you have them. Joe Patrick joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline talking Atlanta United. You normally hear his voice here on the station when he's talking Falcons, but he also does a lot of stuff for Five Stripes Final. Great, great follow. Go check it out. Awesome publication. You should go read it as much as you can and pay for it, because those kinds of Substacks are very important. I'm a paid subscriber, and I love supporting Joe Patrick and company. But it's also really good stuff, too. Really good insight there. But Philadelphia Union, they're coming to town. The last time we saw them, I was on the broadcast, and I did a pre and post for that one, and I was pretty vocal with my criticisms about the team and just in general, the veterans. They lose, I'd say, probably the worst game that I've ever seen them play. You have that debilitating second half where you play up a man and you get outshot and outscored. You lose 3-0 in that one, but that seemed to be a bit of a soul-crushing loss, and they haven't still recovered from that, in my opinion. Do you expect things to be any different this time around?
You they've got to be better. I mean, like that feels like that was the low point of the season. I remember it was on Easter, or at least on Easter weekend, and it was such like a dark day, it felt like, for Atlanta United, because that's where it felt like the wheels fell off. And I think you have to, genuinely, for as critical as I've been, and I think I've been as critical as anybody, on this radio station to, talking about this team, I do think they've gotten better from that point. I think that, it's slow, but that was truly like where things completely went off the tracks. And I do think that they've found some things. For example, I think the back three is helping this team defensively. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't allow them to play as high up the field as Ronnie Dyla wants to play, but if it allows you to start preventing some of these easy goals that you're conceding from happening, then that helps. And they certainly are doing that. It's important to note in that game against Austin, they gave up a free kick goal that was a golazo from Brandon Vasquez, but outside of that, they didn't concede much. And even against Chicago, they allowed lots of shots, but ultimately the goals they conceded weren't, terrible. I mean, they were bad in their own ways, but it's not like you were getting picked apart like the team was against Philadelphia Union the first time. So, and hopefully maybe you find a Union team that thinks they're going to be able to come out here and roll Atlanta United like they did previously, and they see a different test.
Yeah. Last one here for you, Joe Patrick, before I let you go. I had ChatGPT predict the Falcons' schedule. Actually ended up going pretty well. They had them losing the division to the Bucks, but going 10-7. They're the number 5 team in the NFC, and they get swept by the Saints, but they advance to the divisional round and lose to the Eagles, who eventually go on and win the Super Bowl. Do you think Falcons fans would take that?
That would be a fascinating season to get swept by the Saints and then make it that far in the playoffs. And I think, I think you absolutely take that. You take that season, because I think what that would mean is that Penix took, big steps in terms of, I think a lot of us already think just from watching those three games that he is this team's franchise quarterback. But I think that will have been cemented, and he will have made even further progress, towards, making this offense one of the elite in the NFL if that were to transpire. And I think that's interesting, Garrett, also just really quickly, because, I think a lot of people see the NFC South as being a division where it's like you got to win the division in order to get into the playoffs. But yeah. I don't think that's necessarily the case. That's just kind of been a narrative that's existed the last few years. And while there are still some bad teams like the Saints in this division, I think that there's definitely every chance, every opportunity that the Falcons or the Bucks could be a wild card team while the other wins the division. And very nearly would have happened last year had the Falcons won that game against the Commanders in the penultimate week of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, people soon forget that the NFC West was also one that a team went 7-9 and then you had the rumble and whatever it's called. The rumble and the something was when Marshawn Lynch had that huge run against
the
Saints.
Yeah, that crazy run.
Crazy run. But people all want to go change rules and do everything else about seedings just because of people have very short-term memories. And They soon forget that the NFC South is also the only division in the NFL, I think, that has all four teams who've gone to a Super Bowl and won an NFC championship.
And, yeah.
I mean, look, it's not as bad of a division as people like to say it is. But, no, also, Michael Penix has a great season in this ChatGPT thing, and I hope it's true. I hope it's true.
Yeah,
Joe Patrick,
absolutely.
I hope Atlanta United gets it back on track. We got that game coming up here at 6:30. I hope you enjoy it.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Garrett. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. All right. When we get back, we're going to do a quick preview of that one, and then I'm going to finish it off with something I think 2.5 hours just about down, but you got one little bit left. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just a couple minutes away from handing it over to Abe Gordon and company at the Five Tribes Countdown. We got Atlanta United hoping to get back on track, hopefully getting a win for the first time in 2 months, it seems like. It's almost been 2 months. And you got the Philadelphia Union, and they're coming back to town. The last time we saw them, it got ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. 3-0 in Philadelphia the last time we saw them, and that was about the low for Atlanta United this season. So hopefully you can get a rebound. Maybe you can see this team take another step forward. I mean, you go on the road, you get a point against Austin. But ETX is not exactly a formidable opponent necessarily. That's a team that it's okay. I think that's an okay bunch out on the west side. But this Atlanta team has just been struggling. And I've been a vocal critic of them, and I need them to come and prove me wrong. And I hope they do. I really, really hope they do. But I do want to give a couple quick shout-outs. First and foremost, my beautiful niece, it is her birthday today. We had her birthday party up in Nashville, and I drove back down just in time to be down here. Slept on an ottoman last night, and I feel like I'm in my 30s for the first time in my life. Good Lord. So if anybody has any good, nice stretches that they can pass along, hit a guy up. Just let me know. But no, absolute blessing. She's the sweetest little angel, and I just wanted to give her a quick little birthday shout-out. Up in Nashville, she had her birthday party, her first birthday party that she's ever had, like with friends and family, and it was a lot of fun. And she just turned 3, so I'm really excited for her. Second big shout-out I want to give to Georgia Tech Baseball. They just won the ACC Championship in baseball, and that's their first one in 11 years since 2014, I believe, was the last time that we saw them go and make that run. And Danny Hall, it's his final season. He's the greatest head coach in that program's history by leaps and bounds. He's been there for my whole lifetime, pretty much. I think he's been there since like 96 or 97, something like that. It's been a very, very long time. Winningest coach, one of the winningest coaches in college baseball history, and he's just continued to put on an absolute show out there. But look, big year here for Georgia Tech. They got an offense that can score a lot of runs, and they scored a lot of runs against Durham, up there in Durham against Duke in North Carolina. But no, that's a tough Duke team. It's a ranked Duke team. It's an unranked ACC champion. So congratulations to the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. But I want to finish like I finish every show, and I do this with something I think. And something I think is something positive, it's something negative, it's just something in general. But I like to keep it positive in general because, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. And this is kind of one that's both happy and positive and it's negative. And we're going to do this. So let's take a listen to Mina Kimes. She does her podcast it's an Omaha podcast, and she does a very good job. But she had this to say about the NFL's best fans. Dom, do we have that sound? Yeah. And she goes on to say this, and I think I cut the wrong thing. But ultimately, she goes on to say that the Atlanta Falcons fan base has the best fans in the NFL. There it is. That's a good word. Equanimity. I love the $3 words from Mina, but she's also great. And I don't know if it's a compliment or an insult necessarily. Maybe we're just a little bit delusional enough to maintain hope in this city that something good is around the corner and it's just about to happen. And the more you endure, like you're like Sisyphus. Another nice reference there for anybody who gets it, you get it. Like, the more you suffer, the more maybe something is coming at the end of the road, and maybe after this day, it's all going to get better. And I just feel like sometimes that's the life of a Falcons fan. I mean, the Falcoholic, if you follow them on Twitter, you see them, and they're kind of a nihilist type of humor, a little bit like a masochist of sorts, but it's like you, as a Falcons fan, it's like riding a roller coaster, and you don't know where you are. And that's like their pinned tweet. And that's just kind of the life of a Falcons fan. So are we the best fans of the NFL? No, I'm not going to say that. We're plenty optimistic considering how bad we've been hurt. And we've been hurt
pretty bad. Unbelievably charming.
Unbelievably charming. And look, hey, I'll take that as a compliment. Mina Kimes calling me unbelievably charming. I'll take that every single day. But it's been a lot of fun. 2.5 hours here on the station. You've been coming off the bench with me. Big thank you to my man, Dom Trotsky, on the other side of the glass. He does a fantastic job, like always. Joe Patrick joined me earlier. Brooks Austin joined me earlier, talking all things Atlanta sports. Very excited. Atlanta United action, it's coming up next. Big thank you to everybody who joined me. My name is Garrett Chapman. You've been coming off the bench with me. Be kind to another. Talk soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.